Hello, hello, and welcome back to Orbiting the Ghost Planet. I'm Nick.
I'm Joe.
And this is our weekly discussion about Space Ghost Coast to Coast on an episode-by-episode basis. And this week, we watched and are about to talk about Season 1, Episode 3, Elevator.
I feel like this episode is a good example of when the guests are just crazy, they don't have to do any of the heavy lifting in terms of being entertaining.
You're talking about Judy Tenuta.
I am.
First of all, which... So, I've... When Kevin Meaney was on the show, was it 2 weeks ago Kevin Meaney was on the show?
Yes.
Okay. I've seen Kevin Meaney's live stand-up.
Really?
Yeah. He actually, maybe last year or so, came up here to our local comedy club. And we went and saw him. And... Man, he did the exact same jokes that we just saw on Space Ghost back in 94.
Wow.
That's 20 years ago, give or take.
Don't say that, then I feel old.
Listen, on a geological time scale, humans don't live very long.
I know.
Oh, wait a second. I made it worse.
Yeah.
But so Kevin Meaney, he's definitely got a style of comedy that is very ranting. And going on, and can get kind of animated and go into voices and do whatever. Again, I think that's a little bit why I get him confused with Nathan Lane. Cause Nathan Lane can have those moments of just being like very stressed in his voice tone, and he's very animated, even if not necessarily wacky.
Yep.
But in the Meaney interview, he got stepped on and didn't really get to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, with Judy Tenuta, who shows up wearing, what was it, like a purple and black tutu and an accordion?
Yeah.
Just came up and just, you didn't
went
have
for
to,
it.
Yeah, she just took off. I don't know. I'm real curious what her stand-up? I have to assume her thing is that she's a comedian.
She's a comedian. That's what he said.
A comedian?
Yes.
Yeah.
Comedians are called comedians.
But yeah, just like, I don't know if I've ever heard of her outside of the Space Ghost context.
Mm-hmm.
But she must have a weird stand-up show. Because it would probably be just that. Just her
nonsense,
saying stuff in an order possibly predetermined, but how would you ever know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes you get lucky and you just have a guess and just do something. We'll just poke you a little bit and we'll put as little of us on screen as we have to. And that's definitely what you get with Judy Tenuta. Although,
I mean, all he basically asked were his like standard questions, you know, what's your secret identity and what are your superpowers? And she just ran with it.
And is there anything you like about me? And would you sing for us?
Yes.
But like, by the way, I don't want to like put anybody on blast. I don't know if I thought Judy Tenuta was that funny.
I don't think that kind of comedy is funny either.
I like a good non sequitur.
Sure.
But, like, kind of was making fun of Roseanne?
Yeah.
And made it. Who was the first one she made a reference to? Did, like, a Cher.
Yeah.
Like, not even an impression, just, like, a parody impression. Like, again, that's why I'm curious about her stand up, because if there's a way that you can make that work if you're not also trying to do an interview something. Just her, that nonsense by itself, I bet that could work. Because she is kind of trying to play off of questions a little bit.
Sure.
I listen. But she was animated. She was literally more animated than any of the standard characters on the show.
Uh-huh.
Are you surprised at this point to learn that Dorak's band has a canonical name?
I am not. I mean, the like late night talk shows, the bands always have some sort of name.
I know, but this is Space Ghost, where everything's made up and the points don't exist.
Who are the other people in the band? Like, are those, well, I'm assuming they're actual characters from something, because they wouldn't just come up with stuff when they have other characters to pull from.
Well, they have the instruments, so they weren't, they might be unique animation? They might be. Don't hold me to that. They might be based on old characters. Like, I think one is, like, the wizard? I think one is named Christy. Christy might be the drummer. It's just like, how often is the rest of the band even out there? But
it's
yet,
like, one shot per three episodes so
far. Yeah, it's really weird. But so far, he has actually said, here's Zorak and the way out.
Yeah.
In every episode, I think. Because they're, again, for at least that good, like, first, until he zooms over to the desk, it's like they're trying to actually be a talk show.
Yeah, and then everything just...
Even though the monologue is about literally two lines. Gigi Sunu is the one who brings all the references for the show. It's not like the Beavis and Butthead and MST and going on. All the references are just Judy, and then everyone else is kind of just doing their own thing. Being a little self-referential with, in the second interview, mentioning back to Judy's line from the first interview. Yeah. I think they do better when they're self-referential.
Yeah.
Because they're already sort of making fun of themselves at the first go.
Yeah.
But yeah, because she was so animated and because there's so little of the time spent on the regular characters, we still get very little out of Moltar and Zorak.
I love that, though. Like, when Space Ghost just blasts through the roof, they're like, he's gone? Yeah? Okay, well, we're out of here. Like, there's no reason for us to stay now.
Yeah. Like, in a sense, that is a direct escape attempt.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a major thing if you want to talk about the conflict between Space Ghost and the villains.
Sure.
If you want to, yeah, they took the elevator. That is a bold plan. They did the blooper thing?
Yeah.
Which I don't think this is the last time they do it, strangely.
Oh, really? I assume those are just cuts from the original show.
Yeah, that's all old footage again, just with new voices on it. Again, trying to do a little more of that. And this is something that happened maybe twice in here is sort of they put in fake behind the scenes stuff talking like the cracks in the show because well it starts with just Moltar and that you see into the control room. That's something that just about never happens in anything that's professionally produced. I don't know why I like it in the control room, but that's just what happens. So the fact that you can see in the control room, see him switching feeds or whatever, that's one thing.
Yeah.
The part where... So now bloopers. So now, again, they are inventing behind-the-scenes stuff to show. It's a cartoon. That's all invented. But to say, like, oh, yeah, there are takes you don't see. Like, almost explicitly telling you in there, there are things you don't see that are going on behind this thing. But it's not the actual behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we'll get to that in a later series, a later season as well. And also down at the very end, the credits have finished rolling.
Yeah.
And we just get the small talk chatter between our characters in the elevator.
Yeah.
For an just a brilliantly extended amount
of
time.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it was one of those things where it went on for kind of a long time, but it was, like, accentuated it more than... killing it.
Well, comedy is a sine wave. Like, if you tell a joke and it's funny, then it's funny. And if you keep telling it, it stops being funny. And then if you keep telling it, it gets even funnier because it goes on so long. It's very carefully balanced. And this is a whistle, and this is a whistle, and this is a whistle. And I love how you smile and start laughing and then throw your head back when you get the reference I'm making.
But yeah, and again, even the elevator was from some black and white movie or something, and they're just using that.
Well, so this is the first episode produced, even though it was a third episode to air.
Okay.
So try and think about that, like compare this to Spanish translation.
Sure.
And especially with Gilligan, we're seeing a bit, like kind of a heavy influence. I haven't even noticed it before, but... Like, there's more, a heavier push for the idea of the cartoon characters over live action. Like, you know, even if it's pre-recorded, taken from clips, but all the Zorak in the shows that he took when Space Ghost left, the stuff in the elevator in this one. Was there anything in, wasn't necessarily anything in Spanish translation about that.
There's too much else going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of Spanish. was there Spanish accurate? I meant to ask.
From what I remember, yes, it was.
Okay, good.
That's what made it funnier for me, too.
It's because it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like the, which is weird, because we kind of see a throwback. I don't know if it's a throwback to that or just a lack of other ideas, but in Cartoon Planet, they had learning to speak Italian. In a sort of similar vein. Moltar gets blown up in this episode.
Yep, Zorak too.
which that is, if you want something to keep track of over the course of a series, the amount of time that Zorak and Moltar get blown up, it's surprising. And also,
yeah, this is a really good, easy show to make into a drinking game, both because of repeated use of certain animation clips and actions like them getting blown up and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, Moltar got blown up. Keep that in mind. That will be an interesting factoid later on.
Well, I imagine he doesn't get blown up all that often because he's in the other room. And I bet Zorak gets blown up all the time just because he's right there and always prodding him.
Yeah. And it's because Zorak is more prodding than Moltar. Moltar is, how you say, like a nuisance through absence.
Yeah.
If you
just
will.
Just because he's not doing his job. Also, there was Ashley Judd at the end, and I couldn't tell if that was like an actual interview with them that they just like didn't really use, or if they pulled that from something else.
That is very likely an interview with them that
didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that is what you see is what they were able to use from the interview. So, which also, again, going back to my note on last episode about a theme of signals, Ashley Judd was an incoming signal. Just sort of like unexpected, just a noise through the ether.
Like, hey,
somebody's connecting with us.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, which is again, like, because there's stuff that happened on the ghost planet. A mailman showed up to deliver a bomb in one episode.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and again, that was old footage too, which, so,
sure.
Again, knowing the history of.
But still, that means they get a mailman coming to the set with mail.
Yeah. I mean, eventually they have a whole mail room. Eventually. but we haven't even seen the building at this point. Eventually there will be a building.
I presume so. Well, I mean, when Space Ghost went through the roof, it did the pullback.
To some sort of Crystal Palace tower.
Yeah, which I assume is just a shot from the old show.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't expect to see, like, new stuff.
No, I know.
The closest you get is all that infomercial stuff, which, yeah. But yeah, Ashley Judd was weird. Just came in. It was random. They couldn't really use it. And they just said, well, we have...
We want to go get tacos.
We need to throw... no addressing to her either, really. Yeah. It's just like, literally just show her on screen and then end the episode. Yeah. Because we got this interview. We should probably do something with it. But
I got all the food they've talked about, or Space Ghost at least has talked about so far, like just going to get food or craving food or whatever, has been specifically Mexican food.
Yeah.
That amuses me.
That, you'll have to join us at the Taco Bonito.
Mm-hmm.
So again, a line reading that's just a little awkward, which in itself is just funny.
Yeah. I also like those Zorax lines are always like very deliberate and kind of slow.
Well, because that's trying to go for the what Zorak sounded like on the old show. Like right now, they're all sort of trying to mimic the classic
characters.
It's funny
to me. It, like, some of this stuff just kind of strikes me as like we need to fill out the time a little more, so we're just gonna put like an extra pause in here when we're laughing at something.
Okay, I did want to talk specifically about the voices, just because in this one it hit me that there's. When Space Ghost is talking to Judy, he's still in his like superhero mode voice. It's not an under the breath comment. It's not sort of a out of character comment. It's big, confident superhero voice mimicking Gary Owen's voice. And there was just a big thing where there was a cut between animation during the same line where just the faces totally didn't match. And I thought it was jarring. And I realized that's because part of this style of voice acting, this very like slow, deliberate mimicking the old cartoons, which we need to check some of the old cartoons to see if that even like matches or does anything useful there, because it's certainly just out of place here. But that sort of deliberate style of voice acting is extremely emotionless.
Yeah,
like on all parts, like when Zorak is being a nuisance, he's being a nuisance sort of without emotion. It's through the action that we're getting. Who these characters are, not through the presentation, no charisma in a sense. Even though is sort of impressive that then they're doing a good job of action narrative, that these characters are definitely discreet and unique when really, if it wasn't for like the different pitch of voice, they're all pretty monotone. But yeah, luckily that, but it's just weird because in when they start getting more emotional over time, because this is so slow and unnatural feeling, when they get more emotional, even though the cuts between the different animation clips are still so jarring, the fact that there's sort of a constant emotion through them, you are picking up the character more through the tone of voice than you are through the image of the character, and that really helps them bring them more to life. So even though it's the recycled clips, they become fuller characters in that sense.
You know
what?
I bet that it's a lot like with Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridged.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're using the animation from the original show, and he starts off, the voices are a lot slower and more, like, flat. I mean, they're not like that in the original show as much, but, like, but he starts off that way, and then as it evolves and grows, like, they develop their own kind of exaggerated personalities, and then their voices change as well.
Yeah, and the voices are going to change to match the actions and the personalities, which...
The ridiculous, over-the-top personalities.
Yeah. But, and then, you know, when the voices become more powerful, since it's like an animation, it starts to overpower whatever you get out of that. So it's almost, you know, the voices become the character, and you could do stick figures at that point, and I bet you it would still work.
Yeah.
We already talked about the sudden and brief appearance of Ashley Judd at the end, but that completely misses out on one of my favorite Space Ghost guests, Dr. Timothy Leary. I am getting very just... stunned silence over here.
I don't even. His glasses were weird.
His glasses were very weird because they were like, they might have been welding goggles, actually, because they were very dark and they flipped down. Usually that's something for.
Maybe. I think that was just the frame, though. Like, I think they were regular glasses. They just rested on the nose and then flipped down. Well,
no, because they had this weird bar, like, yeah, where they were hinged. But it was like a really solid, weird one that almost looked like you could. You could build a deck on those glasses, not just a hinge for some lenses. So you don't know anything about Timothy Leary?
Nope.
Okay. Well, this is where I first learned about Timothy Leary. The next time I heard any mention of Timothy Leary, it was when I picked up a book called The Book of Lies, which is a sort of a collection of... I haven't even read all of it yet because it's very thick, but it is sort of a collection of writings sort of around, like, skepticism of the supernatural and like, para-religious. I don't know what para-religious means, but... but so, like, one of it goes into, like, well, if you think about it, if the devil wrote a version of the Bible, it would really just be a pamphlet that just said, do what you want. And that's, so how bad can the devil really be? He doesn't say you do anything bad. He just says, don't worry about it. But so it's stuff like that. And then it gets into weird things about like magics with like JCKs and like what that kind of actually means in terms of like manipulating people and becoming rabble rousers and rhetoric and stuff. I think it's actually a really interesting read. And I read a lot of it, even if I didn't read all of it. But Timothy Leary was one of the, authors who was pulled for that collection. The way that he got pulled into that gaggle of skeptics and rabble rousers, let's say, is so Timothy Leary was very famous in, I want to say, the 60s and 70s for doing a number of experiments in quotes, because I don't think they were quite that formal. They were just very enthusiastic. but doing a lot with LSD. And he kind of became known as like the guy who said, hey, this LSD stuff is really cool and we can do a lot with it. And it's probably important. This is my understanding. I might have this kind of off. I wasn't there at the time. but so the line about he's proud that Richard Nixon called him the most dangerous man in the country or whatever, that's why Nixon would say something like that, because the president taking on some guy who is spreading drugs and saying good things about him. Also, this is what gets the fabulous line out there, flood your eyeballs and overload your earballs, which, oh my God, I don't know if I've ever heard a better thing said than overload your earballs. That is just, and like the little video effects of like mushing his face around that they did while he was saying it. Like, so they clearly know who he is. Uh-huh. But yet, they didn't. He just seemed like a friendly old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he have a bow tie?
Or, he had a really funky vest.
He had a funky, funky vest. He seemed like he could be like a half step between Bill Nye and Pee-wee Herman. Science and drug trips. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wait, that might be more accurate than I thought. But yeah, like, so yeah, they pulled Ashley Judd and that wasn't a good interview or whatever. We're getting people like Susan Powder and Judy Tenuta and Kevin Meaney, which some of them, you know, were kind of famous at the time or got some amount of notoriety. And then they got Timothy Leary and just him. Like, I don't.
He wasn't even like promoting anything.
No, he was just there. He was just being that guy. But that's the thing. Like, he seems like a man who is sort of proud to be infamous, which is not something that I would say of, you know, what you would normally consider a celebrity.
Yeah.
Whom you would normally consider a celebrity. So it's just like, okay, so what is your requirement for guests on this show? What else are we going to see now? It's not just like C or D list actors. Getting people like Timothy Leary? He's going to say, overload your earballs? I need to stick around.
And so should you, listeners.
Because we'll be back next week with another discussion about the next episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and we will complete another orbit around the ghost planet. You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Elite Crew Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at EliteCrewStudios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page where you can talk about this and all the other Elite Crew Studios shows. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit EliteCrewStudios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.